This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come in.
Hello, Mrs. Cleaver. May I come in?
Oh, sure, Eddie. Come on.
Is Wally home?
Yes, he's up in his room.
I can only see him for a minute because I have to go over and see my girl.
Well, he's up in his room.
When you have a girl, you can't spend all your time with the fellows. You have to spend some time with your girl.
Oh, you have a girl, Eddie?
Oh, yes. She goes away to boarding school. My father says that's a pretty good indication her family has money. My father says it doesn't pay to waste time with people who don't count.
Well, it's nice of you to come over here anyway, Eddie.
I'll beg your pardon, Mrs. Cleaver.
Look, Eddie, why don't you run on upstairs, huh?
Yeah. Oh, hi, Eddie.
How do you do, Mr. Cleaver? Excuse me, sir.
That boy is so polite, it's almost un-American.
And here's the deleted scene.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Eddie Haskell.
That's it. Exploitive and litigious. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, we try.
What the bleep happened here?
I don't know.
Rod, stop that. It's silly. Very silly indeed.
How are you, Paula Goldstein?
I'm not happy.
Looks like baby vomit.
Ah, what glorious goo.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. How about you?
Fantastic.
I'm all right.
All right. Yeah, I can imagine so. I was calling to see if you're going to bite the bullet and just apologize for it and give her a dick tour.
Give her, whoa. You know, I heard this, all this normal stuff, and then a throwaway comment at the end there.
Yeah.
It was dick for.
Oh, that joke.
Right.
Is that what it was at the end?
Yeah. Dick for.
What's Hello. Wrong with people?
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
They like to help.
Hello.
No, they don't, Buzz.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
You're on the air.
I got a song for you guys. Bye, bye, my cat is way with her pie. Not in the good way, ruined Don's weekend, now their friendship is dry. Rob and his bald friends are taking Mike for a ride, singing this'll be the day that he dies.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. Thank you, Bravo. Okay. Very nice. Very clever, boys.
It's like the Jim Rome show. Phenomenal.
What was wrong with that pie?
Phenomenal. Rock him. Play it in 3 hours.
Mike, good job.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen.
Yes, hi. Who walked in the room?
Hey, I don't understand the pie thing. Once you give a gift away, isn't it the person who's getting the gift, isn't it their pie now? Didn't Buzz receive it as a gift?
Are you involved in a relationship with a woman, sir?
Yes, right now? I am.
Mr. Han, doesn't that technically make it our pie?
Let me just say, because he's involved in a relationship with a woman, I know what this guy's doing. Uh-huh. He's causing trouble.
That's right.
Because he knows.
There's the laugh.
You know what the deal is here.
You know. Hello there. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey, brother.
Hey, good friend. Oh. Hey, long time friend, BFF.
My boy.
Mike, I want you to say hi to my friend, Booger Sugar.
Hey, Booger Sugar, how are you? What's happening, BS?
Hey, man, what's going on now?
What can we do for you?
Hey, brother.
No, now we ask. What can we do for you so we don't get another, hey, brother?
How's life out there, man?
How's life with you?
I hate it when my personal friends call the show.
All your friends talk like this, too.
Call me on my cell. Yeah. Call me after the show at 555-55-KL5.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Bye, Booger Sugar.
I never understand how you have such animated discussions with these people. Whenever any of us talk to them, it's always like that. Hey, what's happening outside the world, brother?
Well, I like to quote that movie that you like that I don't, but it's kind of the same thought behind the movie Awakenings.
Yes.
That you guys don't hear what they're really saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You have to hear it.
It's you have like to speak. It's almost like talking to the animals. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's kind of a Dr. Doolittle thing.
The listener whisperer.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, was it that time of the month?
Now that is a little. That is a that is a glass of gasoline.
That's right.
Yeah. To pour on that, and yeah. I'm sure you probably weren't in a position where you could even ascertain that, were you?
I was, and I will tell you how I know that it was not.
Yes.
This weekend, Jan, and I know she will not mind me saying this, is 43, which means we are coming dreadfully close, thankfully close to the end of that, and. That had already happened.
Ah, very
that,
good.
That had already passed.
Oh, Mike, you're still heartless, man.
I know.
Heartless.
Don't think that I'm not soul-searching right now,
but,
sir.
But funny.
Don't think that I'm not thinking about my actions and the trouble and pain they cause.
The consequences there.
And the consequences. Look, you know, Don's not even speaking to me today. I mean,
I'm hearing somebody speak.
He communicated to me through Buzz. Would you tell my distinguished gentleman on the other side of the console?
It's like Mom and Dad having a fight. Tell Dad to pass the salt, please.
Dad, can you pass the salt?
You tell Mom that I said, nobody leaves this table until I'm done with my steak.
Did that ever happen to you in real life when you were growing up as a kid?
No, with my idiot parents? No.
Parents never did that.
There was no need to hide the aggression.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Exactly. They didn't hide.
Me too.
They didn't hide it.
There wasn't a lot of aggression, but I mean, there was. I just never remember. Tell your father that, you know, that was, I think, created out of sitcoms. I really believe that's where that came from.
I would think.
It's a polite, phony 1950s world, mm-hmm. like that Beaver Cleaver tape we just played.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, really, I think back to growing up. Oh, and the thing that cracks my ass up, have you seen about growing up and having the right family environment? There's a commercial now for KFC, and you got to listen to it to catch it real fast. It ran about 8 million times during the game last night. It's got the single mom, and she's sitting at the table with her kids, and they have a bucket full of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, tell us the best part of your day. Mm-hmm. You know, and the one kid says, I don't have homework. And then they say, Mom, what's your best part? And she says, right now. And then the guy says, right now, go to KFC, get a bucket of chicken, and start the bonding. And I'm like, wow. If we live in a country that is so retarded that you have to tell people, buy a bucket of chicken, sit around the table, and talk to each other, you know, let me off the boat for Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to KFC for bonding.
Well, get your Canadian passport ready, because that's what it's come to.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's come to. Mm-hmm. You know, the family meal.
And they slip it in
there. The family meal no longer exists.
They slip it in there real fast, too. I saw it on a Fast commercial, too. $7.99, now with no transgram. Let the bonding begin. You know, gee, Dad, I always thought you were a bastard. Mom, I thought you were a drunk whore. But now that we're enjoying this greasy chicken together, hey, let's talk about our highs and lows for the day.
Would you like a plate, or can I just put down a paper towel for you?
I think in real life, we all know that if you want a bond, you have to go to Applebee's.
Yes. And sit across the table and be waited on.
Exactly.
And that's another grand misnomer that I would like to eradicate now. Huh? The family that gets together, I saw this in a movie over the weekend, and it was one of those things. I remembered it from when the movie came out. Awful movie called The Sum of Us.
The Sum of Us?
Okay. Yeah, directed by Rob Reiner. It's with Bruce Willis and Michelle Pfeiffer about a couple that's getting divorced and they're getting back together. Oh, crap. Now I forgot what the point was because why are you staring at me?
I'm curious.
Why are you standing there?
I'm curious.
Family. Why are you standing there, though?
Well, because you're going to talk and I didn't want to not look at you while
you can,
talk.
You can hear from – you just made me forget it by standing there. Why are you standing there?
Let me refresh your memory. It was about Applebee's and The Sum of Us.
No.
Now you're talking about relationships and family bonding.
Bonding
and all that.
At dinner.
And
oh,
The Sum of
you,
Us and how
you.
That relates
now,
to family.
Now please
bonding.
Just step away and I can finish it.
All right, everybody. I'll see you later.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. Just sometimes just looking at you. I'm sorry. I lose track of what I was going to say.
I have the same thing with you.
Now when he does that, though, you realize that sometimes I can look back at you and I'm looking right at him. And when he does that, then he's free to mug all the
time. All right, come on. Stand. Stand. Go get back in your position, you big lug.
All right.
Go ahead. There you go. All right. In this movie.
Now it's like the whole thing with Class.
Which I had the misfortune of seeing in the theaters right. about 5 years ago. I saw just the one part on cable that pissed me off. They're this almost perfect family that gets together and they decide they're going to split up while their kids are at camp. And, of course, they can't do it. And the one trademark that this family has...
I'm sorry. Now you've pointed him out. When you point out his oversized head, it's very difficult.
I should sit.
You should sit until you and I talk about our future bonding with Xbox Live and Madden.
And I'll be ready for that. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And I won't look at Mike.
No, this is really worthless, what I'm going to say. Like everything I say. In this movie, the family, the mom, the dad, and the two perfect kids, every night when they get together for dinner.
And now, I'm not looking at him now. Now I'm just thinking about the whole thing. What happens at dinner?
Every night when they have high of the day.
The high of the, they, right. they go around the table?
Yeah. And this is something that is made up in movies, and it's even to an extent made up in this KFC ad where they're sitting around with what's the high point of your day, and it's all this phony bonding thing. Because I was thinking about it, really, on any given day, and given circumstances, I got life by the tail. I feel pretty great about my life just about every day. But I don't know if I could sit down and go home at the end of the day and go, okay, what's your highlight today? Well, God, solid bowel movement. You know, I mean, there's not that much that happens in everyday life, and I guess that's the jive point that they want you to get to, which I refuse to buy into. Like, okay, then they would say, throw it back. No, no, something serious. What is the high point of your day? Well, I guess it's when I reread that birthday card from Mom, and then the whole family would go,
right. Yeah.
What's your high moment? Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they try to make it a perfect little postcard, and it isn't always that way.
No.
But that's the whole reason.
And my family would not, if such a concept existed back when I was growing up, if anything, we did it the other way. It was low point. That's all it was. My dad would start, my mom would continue, and then as my brother and I spoke, we would become the focus of what was wrong in the family.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like at an
that's,
average
you're probably
dinner.
Not alone in that, you know. I mean, it would be, it would involve, I found that our family meals were kind of accountability sessions, you know, for the
really?
Day, especially. Wow. Well, no, I mean, not always, but I mean, if there was something that was an issue, it would usually be brought up over the family meal. Hmm. You know, that's the way it would. It would not be all,
and I'm
how,
with you.
And how was your day, Skippy? It was not always like that. You know, normally it's like, hey, now look, if you're going to do that, you got to make sure. You know, it was serious stuff. It wasn't all happy, happy, joy, joy. Hey, if you're going to take that car up to Joey's house, don't cut through the don't cut through Wood Pond Road because you know you got stuck in the mud last time. Right. It was that kind of crap, you know, that we dealt with. And then, you know, depending on whether there was a good day or a bad day, everybody brought whatever those experiences were to the table.
I mean, I'm not asking you. I cannot think of one day that my father ever came home from work. I was like, yeah. I mean, not that I do it myself,
right?
But I can't think of one day that he ever did that. I can certainly think of days when he would come home and literally slam the door, open the freezer, get his first of two frozen drinks. My mom would put two martinis in there on ice for him,
right.
Take it, go upstairs, take a crap, come back downstairs, get his second drink, sulk, then join us at the table for some wonderful chatter about what idiots we were.
I remember the one day my dad came home, and it was
nice.
A departure.
And I don't think
I'm
romanticizing it too much.
I remember, seriously, I actually do remember the happiest that I ever saw him when he pulled in the driveway. He pulled in the driveway with a Mercury XR7 Cougar. You know that Cougar? Cool. Like it was that Mustang of its day?
Very cool.
British racing green with the leather interior.
Nice.
And had a look on his face like a little kid. And and I gave him the reaction I'm sure that he was excited about, you know, being the little kid of 1967 when I was like 8 years old. Right. I was jumping up and down and go, oh, wow, Dad, that's such a cool car. And it was the coolest car he ever owned. It was all downhill as far as cars after that. We went through things like Plymouth Valiants. After that, you know, I mean, and the you remember the Volare?
Oh, yeah.
The Volare, you know, I mean, the Plymouths were a big part of our family. But that's the moment I remember Otherwise, it was kind of like routine.
You know,
there were good times. Don't get me wrong. Plenty of good times with my dad. But as far as the droning on of the day-to-day, and everybody's in that position, kind of. You come home and you're...
I don't think that I came from, although I like making fun of it on the air, my family seriously was big into verbal abuse and stuff, but it was just the way that we were. I don't think that we had an excessive amount compared to other families that were as effed up as us, but we never had the flip side. There was never the time when we all would just sit around and go, oh, this is good, or you're good. I mean, even it.
I don't remember a lot of, look, and I'm not trying to put down my family situation. I don't remember a lot of, you know, high highs.
No,
I remember there's a lot of love. You know, there were hugs and stuff like that. There was a lot of that. But I don't remember the real, it wasn't the idealized, hey, how are you? Yes, sirree. You know, you open the door.
You know, okay, here's what I remember. One of my family. One of my strongest memories, seriously, is my mom chasing my brother through the house with a golf club.
Wow. All right.
Good.
And
times.
Then, you know, back in the day, it wasn't – moms used whatever was handy.
Right.
But a golf club is pretty significant.
She did not hit him with it.
Good.
She was, for whatever reason, just chasing him.
Did your mom hit you with tools? Did she use tools to hit? Because my mom's favorite would have been a wooden spoon.
Yeah, see,
a wooden spoon was her. She wouldn't like to, use. I think maybe it was the nails or something like that.
Yeah, no, we had that. We had the Board of Education, which literally was a cutting board. And my dad, being the craftsman that he is, took an entire weekend to write on it beautifully, like, and paint on it. You know, this is the Source Family Board of Education.
That had to be terrifying on one level. You had to realize that if your dad was taking that much time and care and putting something together, he's certainly not. He's a guy, and you're going to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're taking that much time to do it.
Call my brother real fast.
But we didn't have it as bad as my next door neighbors, the Kellys.
What would they do?
You know what they had to do? They had to eat to a timer.
Oh, my God.
They had to eat to their time, and if their food was not cleaned off their plate by the time the timer went off, they were punished.
It's good for digestion.
That was horrible.
But six minutes is just not enough.
Hey, dude.
Oh, hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's happening? Are you in the middle of work right now?
Oh, no, I'm playing a game of Halo 3. I can quit it.
Oh, hold on. I called Bart. I didn't call my brother. No, never mind, buddy. You know nothing about what I'm talking about.
All right, whatever, fag.
Hey!
Wow!
Hey, I'm your father.
I was trying to be like Jim. Sorry.
Oh, you see, he was. He was doing his Jim. I was going to say that was a good Jim impression that he just did.
I got you. All right, Barty. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, love you, bud.
We never had a tool to hit me in my house. They just, you know, the hand on the ass.
Right.
But you know what Big Daddy used to do? My mother's father, and this is mostly for the twins because they were bad. Sam and Philip. You know Philip.
Right. Yeah.
He would send them out to cut their own switch off a tree.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's bad.
For me, it was the fly swatter, and in a really grievous offense, my dad's belt.
Oh, you got the belt.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
The belt had hooks on it.
We got the belt, too.
Yeah.
Come on, Jimmy.
That was serious.
My dad rarely hit me, but I remember the fear of it.
Oh, yeah.
And driving in the car would be when he'd do that fake reach back.
Call me back, or I'll try and call you back.
Please begin the fear recording of it is worse.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Waiting.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
He'll know I called.
He'll know it's you.
He'll know I called.
When we were driving, my dad would, in the station wagon, always pull the thing as, kids, God damn it. And he'd reach over with the elbow and he'd do the thing and we'd all like be ducking and stuff like that. It was always avoiding him.
It's really at a disadvantage. I mean, if you just try to hand someone something in the back seat, you can't do it. There's no way you could hit
my
somebody.
Sister and I would be arguing and it would be, you know, we have a long trip.
Politics
with the
mostly.
Windows. No, with the windows rolled up in the smoke. You know, I mean, they talk about, and no seat belts. I mean, right. Little death traps.
Sure.
And you know, the funny thing is back then, nobody was ever killed in an auto accident.
No.
Never mind.
It didn't happen.
You know where they used to put me? My dad had a Volkswagen, and there was like a cubby hole behind the back seat in a Beetle.
Right.
They put me in there.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
I was 17.
Hey.
Hello.
You guys have got to get on the high side of something. You make it sound like you were just... You make family life sound so freaking horrible.
Well, no, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying...
Nor am I.
I don't remember the... the idyllic, you know, June Cleaver, Ward Cleaver type of deal. I think everybody, you know, everybody kind of.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, if I ever met a family that was like the Cleavers, I think I'd just go ahead and shoot myself.
You know, and furthermore, from
too much to handle.
Furthermore, from my example with my family is so effed up. I did get invited to go on the Jenny Jones Show.
Yeah, yeah. You had a different situation.
So I want you to know, my family is dysfunctional, but still, I think in a lot of ways, they were normal dysfunctional.
Yeah, probably.
I think everybody.
You know what I mean? Yeah, one thing you learn when you get older is everybody's family's got their their issues.
They're all dysfunctional,
and they're all a little crazy.
That's why we painted that way.
I mean, it's true. Much more healthy to be able to talk about it and scream and chase each other with a golf club than to bottle it up and eventually shoot each other.
and don't even get me going on Thanksgiving. You know,
yeah.
Who really wants to be a part of that?
Nobody.
Well, I might have you all beat on a couple of holiday meals with my Uncle Bill Sheehan. God rest his soul. I loved him. I loved him for all the $5 bills that he gave me growing up. I really did. I liked the fact that he would shake our hand, and we'd always run to him to shake his hand. He was the uncle that would dole out.
Right.
It started as singles and then worked its way up towards the end to $5 bills.
Cool.
But I swear to God, he came to every Thanksgiving and Christmas at my house. And this is there are probably two times in all the years growing up that we had holiday meals where he would not choke. I mean, choke to the point where he would choke to death.
Oh, my God.
And he would sit there, and he would be at the end of the table. I would be at the side of the table, and my mom would have served something like a roast.
Sure.
And he would sit there and say, well, you understand it. And we would go, Bill, are you all right? And my mom would jump out of her chair, and he would go.
Would he always give you the I'm okay sign?
Oh, it would be this. It would be the airline sign, like when you're bringing a jet into the tarmac. You know, you go, with the face scarlet. And I mean, we're talking going to where, you know, you really were ready to see him turn blue. Uh-huh. And then he would start. And then later on, he'd bring a bottle of Early Times whiskey himself. He would bring a bottle of Early Times whiskey, and towards the end, you'd look at the end of the evening, and at least three quarters of it would be gone. And he would tell a story and just say, "I remember when the like that,
he'd crying,
start crying."
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, when you talk about quirky relatives, you know, that's when we didn't have the priests around.
But that was okay back then because drunk driving was legal.
No one was ever hurt back then.
He had his lady that would drive him home.
Oh, I see.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello there.
Hi, Don. Yes,
we are. Hi there, honey.
I was just saying it was totally realistic. I think the guy was off the mark. My mother not only made us go out and get the switch for one of my three sisters that she was going to hit with it, but if it wasn't big enough, she'd hit me with that one, and then I'd have to go out and get a bigger one.
Wow.
So, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
the forsythia with the blooms on it, and it was very thorny. So, you know,
thank you,
darling. Like you said, it's like in the as good as it gets. It's just not in this car. There are healthy people out there, more healthy than this, but not in this family.
Not in this family.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What is up? Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yes, and Mike, we're all here.
Oh, it's your midget son. I was spawned when you made love to my midget mother as your friends watch from the closet.
Sure. It's your midget son. He almost sounds like he's got an Irish accent, too. Hey, Donnie, it's your midget son. Your midget spawn. There he is.
For those who don't know, I once made love to a midget while some disc jockeys watched me from a closet so I could get their money. One of those disc jockeys is now a radio executive in New York City named James Ryan. When I knew him, he was Big Jim Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Big Jim Ryan.
Big Jim Ryan caught the Donnie Show.
Big Jim. Well, I'd pay you $50.
Fun.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I got a solution for this pie thing.
Oh, we're kind of off that topic now.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, ass.
Good connection.
Good call.
That wasn't the connection, guys. I actually willed him to swallow his tongue.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Thank you.
Hello.
Oi.
Hey.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, you know, screw what your mom and dad did to you. You know, they genuinely loved you, and they smacked you because you needed it. It's your older brothers and sisters who really wanted to hurt you and kill you.
I could not possibly agree more. I had an older sister, 7 years older than I was, who tortured me throughout most of my my formative years, mm-hmm. including the first time I ever went to a ski slope. We had a little ski slope near the house called Powder Ridge. Can it sound any more gay? Mm-hmm. Does it sound any more like it's just a hill? It's not really even a mountain. Let's go to Powder Ridge. Mm-hmm. And Powder Ridge, she and Tommy McCabe, who was 1 year older than I was, went up on the rope tow and skied down the top. And I'd never skied before. And shit, it's going to be great. We're going to teach you how to ski. We're going to have a great day skiing. And they were skiing for like 8 hours and took me at 12 years old and left me on the bottom of the mountain. And I was sitting there trying to go sideways up the hill. I didn't get any instruction or anything. And what I did really during the whole like 8 hour day, I would fall and then get up and then fall again. And she'd come down periodically. I said, I thought you were going to teach me how to ski. Well, we're going to do some more skiing, and then we'll come back and teach you. And left me in the bottom of the hill and those type of things. She also, when I was skating on the pond, she wouldn't let me come into the house and walk across a carpeted room to get to the bathroom. And that's when I pooped myself.
Right. She made you do that.
It was my fault.
I know.
It was her fault.
That was her fault.
Yes, it was her fault.
Right. I didn't have that with my brother. My brother and I.
You're too close in age.
And also it was us against them.
Right, you had a common enemy.
A lot of the times.
The age difference with my sister was what, you know, that resulted in really when we were under the same roof before she went away to school, it was warfare.
Wow. And I told
it really
you the,
was warfare.
The best Sam Source story, that's my dad, Sam Source, the way that he handled conflict. My brother and I one day, I don't know, I was maybe 13.
Right.
He was 11. Mm-hmm. We're just doing that thing. And it's, get out of here. You know you do the best. Yeah,
right.
Pushing lightly.
Just pushing like, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was one of the days that he was just in a massively bad mood, mm-hmm. and he started screaming. I am not kidding. My brother said this on the air as well. That's it. I'm sick of the fighting between you two. Backyard now. Got the backyard, and he said, okay, fight. Wow. We're like looking at him like, are you kidding me? He's like, fight. Fight each other right now. Fight. I remember I kind of like tackled my brother, and it was the weirdest thing. I know my brother's discussed this on the air before. My dad's big decision to have us go in the backyard and fight.
You talked about that. That had to be weird, and you know you didn't know
and
what to do.
We didn't fight. What we ended up doing was just rolling down this hill to where he couldn't see us. And we waited till he went inside.
Wow.
I mean, we really didn't fight.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, because that was kind of like your mutual bond against him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After all, I'm dumb. He's stupid.
That's what your dad used to say.
My dad used to really say that. At the table, he used to say to me, he'd say, you know what? You're dumb, but your brother, he's stupid. You know, and for some reason, dumb in my house
right.
was less of a put down.
Dumb was just
was stupid.
You missed a few things. Stupid was you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
And that's the positive uplifting message that was given in the household all the time.
And now my kid, talk about how you raise your kids, and I'm sure you are the same way. Bart, thank God, lived under the fear of 1, 2, 3 the whole time
he
was a kid.
You taught me that. You taught me that with my own kids. I watched you and Frida do that with Bart growing up, and I swear to God. Didn't you have a book, too? Didn't I? Because I know I remember getting a book about the system as far as the way you do that counting system.
Yeah.
I forgot what the name of it. It's still around today.
The book's called 1, 2, 3, Kick Your Kid's Ass.
I still do it today.
Basically what it said was, seriously, tell your kid I'm going to count to three. Mm-hmm. And the first time that you do really...
Got
to
do it young. Got to start it young.
Right. The first time you spank his ass, trust me, he's going to remember, and or she. And the older he or she gets, and my God, even when he was like 16 and becoming a major F-up, as all kids do at that point, I remember Frida would call me up, and they would be arguing, mm-hmm. going through his teenage angst, and she would just say, I'm going to call Dad. Okay. 3, 2 She'd go,
oh, you go
right.
backwards with it? You go 3, 2
yeah,
1?
Yeah. Okay. Right. He left the room.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it does. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say this to, you know, we don't talk about that, but I mean, it really, that counting thing, where if you do it the right way, and you have to start it, and you have to back it up, and you do that, and you're fine. And usually, if you do it the right way, you never have to have the corporal punishment, because really starts with a timeout.
You rarely get to two.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You can be going back and forth, and we use it on both kids, but mm-hmm. if you go one,
yep.
they back right That's off.
It. Rob uses it on his wife.
I do. But she's not effective on her because she gets the numbers in the wrong order.
Two.
She forgets.
Of course, what the hell do we do? You know, after a while, you forgot what you do if you get to three.
I don't forget. Yeah.
He doesn't forget.
No, sir.
Three is to the moon time.
It's a lot different.
This is called an electric knife.
You're going to lose your last two digits.
Oh, my God.
you? You got the three.
Yeah, and you made me.
You made me
do this.
Ow, ow. You're cutting your kid's fingers off.
Not always fingers.
With a steak knife.
And it's an electric knife.
Electric turkey knife.
Virtually painless.
Fantastic.
Help me.
You love to make me do this. Little boy.
Oh, dear.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Robert wearing his cute little Batman PJs when you do that to him?
Yes, he was. He was.
Julia wearing her little Dora the Explorer outfit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And
Dad wielding an electric turkey knife.
Dad coming in his full Nazi uniform.
Well, what I had to do is, they're smart now. They run away. Well, as good as they can because we did toes last week. But they try to escape, and now I've got an extension cord, and I chase them. It's not a very big house. I put a gate up, so they have to stay on one level.
So finally, the example of you want to end up like your mother, that didn't work, right? When you show her hands and toes?
And I have photographs of different stages. I said, look, now this is before mommy had help. Look at this.
Okay, Dexter.
Who wants this? They are really charming children now.
Very well behaved.
I just have to cut up their steak for them.
All no right. Soccer for them.
No.
Get out of here. Get out of here, Xbox buddy. I got to tell you, this is dangerous. We have to hit a break. There is a sign that Rob Spiewak may actually eclipse you in a somewhat masculine and technology a combination of both, Mike.
Yes.
He's got an Xbox.
Right.
He went out over the weekend. He got Xbox Live.
Right.
He had his best buddy Brad over.
Right.
He was discovering the joys of Madden.
Right.
And he played from 11 p.m. until 4:30 a.m.
There you go. Yeah.
Addictive?
There you go.
I think so. Yeah. I cannot wait to play him.
And you will destroy me because, you know, you understand the game so much better. But I have never been on something so addictive. And Brad wasn't at my house.
Seriously. Why don't you just do what you have to do? Why don't you just chuck it? Why don't you, move in with him?
No.
Why don't you just move in with him?
No, what's the
that's
secret?
What's
the secret to any great relationship?
It's going to end up
time
that
apart.
Way.
Time apart.
It's going to end
Mike,
up that way anyway.
If you'd get on Xbox Live, we could play on Xbox Live too. But think about this.
Yes.
Can you imagine this? This boy actually playing a sports game?
Yes, I can. Well, remember when you got it? Remember when you started working for the Redskins and he started liking football? You could start buying... You could work in the garment district, and Rob would suddenly develop an interest in dresses.
I've always loved retail.
He already has an interest,
but I mean, what it is, what you have to do with him, this is important to me.
Okay.
You have to bring him along on something that's passionate to you. You have to bring him along on something that, something that he wouldn't necessarily obviously like.
Like a rally?
I'm not sure, like theater
Here's
arts.
The thing, Mike. I know where you're going on this.
Yes.
And I mean no disrespect, Rob.
And none will be taken.
Yes.
I am a man of limited interests. Let me just say this. Rob is a man of more limited interests than I am.
He is narrow. So what you're telling me is you're expanding his horizons when he joins you for the Xbox. Now, will it be Halo or will it be Madden?
Well, right
the
now
Madden?
It's going to have to be Madden because that's the game I have.
Right.
But let me tell you, when you have had, and I counted the beer bottles next to me on Sunday morning, and they numbered 13, and that's too many. But when you have had 13 beers and you have a headset on and you're yelling at your friend who is miles and miles away and you're talking through the internet, it's magnificent. And you're playing a game and you're having your
ass.
And
was he in the same condition that you were?
Yeah, he got started earlier. Let me get it. Brad will appreciate this. Brad had run out of stuff to drink and had gone on to Amaretto.
Oh, my God. What is the etiquette when you're going to wrap that up?
You talk about your need to drink and drug. The only reason you never committed suicide was that you were afraid, you realized you wouldn't get to drink if you were dead.
God bless you, Brad, but I told you, not Amaretto and Coke.
What is the etiquette? Is the etiquette like at the end, at 4 o'clock in the morning, is the etiquette, all right, I got to go.
About 3:45, Brad said, I can't do this anymore. Can't do it. And he was way past, if you have someone you drink with a lot, and I've been drinking with Brad since.
Right.
Since I turned exactly 21.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So,
of course.
You get to know their stages of their drunkenness. And he was even past yelling about Apple computers and how much they suck. I mean, he was gone. And so I said, like 3:45, I said, you know what? This is a good place to stop. He said, yeah, I can't do this anymore. I said, I'm going to play one more game by myself after you go. He said, no, you're not. No. No, I'm going to play.
So now you're all set to go with it.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Gats. Excuse me, Rob, I believe it is the damn dummy checking back in. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, faggot. How are you?
There he is.
Jim.
What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. We were on a discussion about Sam and Fran, and I wanted to ask you if you remember. I know that Sam, our dad, wrote on that big thing, the Board of Education. I know he wrote in his own handwriting, Board of Education. Do you remember what else he wrote on that thing?
No, I don't remember. But I remember the Board of Education.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
to ask him if he remembers the fight,
the golf club.
Oh, yeah, well, you remember that. Do you remember? Of course you remember the time that Dad told us just go in the backyard and fight each other and we didn't really want to fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's when I beat your ass.
Yeah, right. Okay. And the time Mom was chasing you around the house with a golf club because you wouldn't leave?
With the what?
With a golf club.
No, I don't remember a golf club.
You don't remember your mom chasing you with a golf club?
No, I don't.
What's the worst thing you remember Mom chasing you around or throwing at you?
Throwing at me?
Yeah, or chasing you around with. I remember her chasing you around a lot.
I don't remember that.
Chasing you right into that school.
Doesn't remember that.
Right.
I don't remember her chasing me around with anything.
Okay. Well, here I am once again. You know.
Well, Don. Sometimes we block the worst memories.
I know it's called repressed memory.
Jimmy, do you remember the angriest your mom or dad ever got at you?
Yeah, I kind of do. Don wasn't around home then; he had already left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was. When I crawled out my bedroom window, pushed my car down the street, mm-hmm. and took off to a party, and I came back and Francis was sitting on the front porch waiting for me when I got home. And then the next day, all she did is come out, slap me in the side of the head, took my keys, and then the next night at dinner, we had spaghetti, and she had a big bowl of spaghetti sauce, and Sam was getting all over my ass about it. And I dumped the bowl of spaghetti sauce in his lap.
Oh, wow.
And then I took off and I ran.
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember that?
That'd be after I left home.
I think things improved.
I think I was 17.
Yeah. And what was the result when you finally got back to the house after dumping the spaghetti sauce in Sam's lap?
Oh, I didn't come back for a day.
Yeah, but
I took off that night, went to a friend's house and stayed the night. And then when I got back, everybody was silent. Nobody mentioned it ever.
Never
really?
Speak of this again.
Yeah.
Hey, and I was trying to remember, was I dumb or stupid? Because I was one and you were the other one. Which was I?
I think you were stupid.
Uh-oh.
I remember
All these years you said that you were dumb.
I was dumb.
He was dumb and you were stupid.
Which was worse, Jim?
I don't know. I remember when Sam would call me dumb, Don would sit across the kitchen table and smile. And then when he called Don stupid, I'd sit there and smile, sure. Thinking, yeah, he's getting on him instead of me.
Right.
All right, and then the last thing, just so people know I'm not, you know, making this up. We've had this discussion a million times. How would you describe Dad arriving home at the end of a day? And then us sitting down for a family dinner. For instance, when we lived on Norbeck Road.
There wasn't really anything to describe it. He would come home, drink half of his martini while Sam had a half a glass of wine. Francis would have half a glass of wine. And right. I don't know, we'd just sit down and we always had that stupid salad with Italian dressing every night.
Ooh.
That's what I remember the most. Every night, a salad with Italian dressing.
Wow. All right, well, here I am remembering a lifetime of harsh memories, and all you can remember is that we had Italian dressing
Italian
every night.
But it's every night. That gets to you after a while. That's sure. Torture.
I guess we were raised by different people.
I don't remember a whole lot. Like one of them said there, you probably block it out.
Right.
You do. I mean, yeah, that was me, Jimmy. You block things out.
I guess.
Yeah.
The pain.
Yeah, right, it's just like I don't remember my brother dry humping me either.
No.
You can't stop thinking about it now.
That's, you mean, are you,
that never happened.
Are you talking about when he crawled in the bed with you?
Our homo moment, we did that. Jimmy, that happened. Why would I possibly make that up?
That did not happen.
Jimmy, would it have been better if he had Italian salad dressing?
Yes. Yeah.
That's all you smelled after that dry humping was the smell of Italian dressing.
All right, Fag. Have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Bye. Check you out later. Bye-bye.
Just a brief moment between brothers and a hint of good seasons.
I smell oregano. What are you doing?
That was it. Good seasons, as a matter of fact.
Was it? She would make it. So she had the little clear bottle where she'd shake it every night with the oil.
Exactly.
I think every mother in America did that for a while.
Sure. Vegetable oil, vinegar, and the packet.
Anna Maria Alberghetti.
Of course.
Remember that?
Yeah.
What?
Delicious.
He's staring at you.
I know. Have you noticed that? He'll finish a sentence sometimes, and he's looking at me.
It's not going to get any better when you start playing those online games with him. It's going
to
be difficult.
I wanted to ask you, do you have the camera?
Yeah, I'm not using that with you, though. I'm not using that with you.
I haven't hooked it up yet.
Don't.
But it seems fun.
No, maybe we should.
Be funny.
It might be fun.
There's a camera, and you can talk.
Really? You know what else you can do besides talking?
What?
You can write stuff on cards and hold it up.
Bad words?
Uh-huh. Really bad words.
Hurtful words.
Bad ones.
Hurtful words. Hurtful words like good seasons.
You know what I mean? Like that. Like that.
That's good.
You can do that if you have the camera for the internet.
I think that's what we should do.
Does the camera come with the game?
No, the camera comes in the Xbox Live
kit. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. The kit. Okay.
Is there a way on Madden I could put that on a helmet?
you I'm dumb.
I'm stupid.
Not until they expand, Rob.
The helmet. The special helmet. The spike coming out of it.
That's right. That's
not until the Minnesota Vikings move to Berlin.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, in the great tradition of the Vikings. Alan Page and Bud Grant.
And if there was any team that would move to Germany, I just picked that one off the top of my head, but that would be a good one, right? Because they're all about Nordic.
Nordic. Yeah, sure. With the big horns coming out of their helmets, mm-hmm. That'd be perfect.
Or the Cleveland Brown shirts.
God. For Berlin.
Right.
The Berlin Browns. I don't think they want that coming back.
Well, you'll see.
You never know.
Okay. Hold on. I can't believe we're talking sports with a man whose fantasy team is 0-5.
Hey!
All right, enough. Enough from you, Robbie.
Not in the league elite like some of us in this room.
We shall be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.